Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to,
Strange Realm, Secret Universe. I'm Rachel and I. She's the author of The Multidimensional Traveler. Her name's Kartika Gale. She was on there momentarily. For the moment, she'll call back. But yeah, her book, it's really interesting. Her, she studied at the University of California. She got a degree in 2011. She's traveled all over the world. She's done a lot of other stuff. That looks rather interesting. Oh, here we go. Hey, Kartika.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for calling in tonight. So, I know today's, well, this whole week's been pretty good for you. Your book came out, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday. How was that like?
There's a slight problem with the sound. Please give me 1 minute.
All right, hello now.
Hi, yeah. Hi, Lauren. Hi. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, much yeah, we're, yes, awesome. We're great. Okay, I was asking, I said today was, well, this week's been really great for you, and your book was released this week, like Tuesday or Wednesday. So, how's that been?
Well, it's been really, really interesting in an aspect that I've received various emails from readers and they have a few questions, and I've been replying to emails all week long. Very, 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 very happy to hear of interesting stories that they shared with me.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine, especially, you know, whenever a lot of people will go see something, especially when you talk about multi-dimensions and stuff like that, and then, you know, they get into it and they really interested. I personally haven't been able to read yet, which I'm waiting to, but you can tell us about your book, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the book mostly highlights my own experiences in a multidimensional realms or rub dimensions, and it has an end of chapters instructional guides whereby the readers could also sharpen their abilities in order to become multidimensional travelers as well, or rather awaken the abilities that are within themselves.
That's very interesting. So when did you start your journey?
Well, it was actually one of the first years of my, it was actually my freshman year in college, I think, if I'm not mistaken, or was it sophomore? I'm terrible with timing. I basically had no clues whatsoever of our energetic abilities or even of energetic existences until I experienced it myself. I was completely a pure believer of mainstream science, and I love science. My parents have educated me in a background whereby my academics were practically my academic life was very much related to mainstream science itself. So my first experience was absolutely even shocking or rather surprising to me.
Really? Now, can you explain, now in this, the going to this multi-dimensional travel, is, now are you in this deep state of meditation, or tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, well, I do meditations every morning, the first thing that I do when I wake up, and I do it every day, you know, whichever time I have, I spend it meditating. Rather, even I did it when I'm actually driving in a car, or even when I'm in my classroom sometimes, in my lab, or even at home. You know, people think that, you know, when you're meditating sometimes you have to be in a quiet place, you have to be secluded. Sometimes it's not really just the aspect of being secluded itself that you could actually meditate. You could meditate anytime, anywhere. You just need to silence your mind and use the power of manifestations that is within your mind itself to envision the golden light, or to counteract your subconscious thoughts itself.
Yeah, it's like that intuitive voice that's speaking to us, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
I always trust that. You have to. It's like so important.
Yes, absolutely. It's the sense and the feeling of a being is never wrong. So.
And so tell us more about your book.
Well, it's made so that it transgresses, you know, an individual's educational background, or even their age, or whether they have had experiences before or not. It's written in such a with simple words, and it's written with such simplicity that anybody with any particular background could just relate to it.
Oh, that's awesome! It's great to reach out. You know, I try to do that too with my listeners and just everything. I'm trying to, you know, reach out to multicultural, decultured, diversity. Diversity, that's the key word. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so how did you actually achieve multidimensional travel?
Well, I think that in order to achieve multidimensional travel, one has to discipline one's mind. That's the basic of it. But I believe that this is an innate gift within each and every one of us. It's quite like, metaphorically speaking, it's like a box that, you know, a gift that is within us. And some people have this box particularly open. Some of them have it only the lid open. Some of it have fully taken it out. It's just the differences in that sense. But each and every one of us do have this innate ability, innate gift.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, in this, now about our dreams, you know, we were talking a bit about that yesterday. And I was telling you that, you know, our dreams could be a totally, you know, spoon fed to believe dreams are just all dreams or asleep. Yeah, but I believe that our dreams hold more of a key to something bigger and a different dimension, to where we're only still able to contact dead relatives and so forth. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. In the book itself, I highlight a particular type of multidimensional traveling, which the second one I think, and I which I call traveling true utilization of partial consciousness, and that's in the aspects of dream itself, because your consciousness, you only have certain fractions of your consciousness within your energetic body when you're actually in the energetic world, when you're actually dreaming. Now, Sigmund Freud, a famous psychologist, said that dream itself is the unconscious. And I think that's the aspect of psychology, and rather what psychology have yet to truly delve into is that dreams itself can be conscious through raising our own consciousness.
I totally agree. Now, with all this multi-dimensional travel, have you ever stumbled or ran upon any multi-dimensional beings?
Yes, absolutely, all the time. Different types, just like, we're on planet Earth itself, which is part of the Milky Way galaxy, and there are many, many different galaxies within this very universe itself, and within this existence itself, there are still many, many different universes, which is also means that there are many different galaxies that exist.
Yeah. Now, you know, whenever we can be in this deep train of thought in order to go to these higher places of enlightenment, I would think, whenever somebody would be thinking meditation, usually they think of in the worldly things, but, you know, what would be your advice for a lot of people to go beyond that and into the stars and the galaxies and the far beyond space and stuff like that?
By worldly things, do you mean they travel out of their physical body and roam around
they're focused more on the worldly things and not beyond in the galaxy and stuff like that, and the true meditation and stuff like that. But I find this like really, really interesting. Now you're in these five dimensional beings. Like, are we talking like reptilians and stuff like that? Because now I've done quite a bit of shows that have mentioned a lot of reptilian beings and draconians. I say draconians rather, and draconian constellation and all that. Do you want to weigh in on that?
Well, every different dimension, within every different dimension, there exists different type of beings. There's a certain level of dimensions that is what we call the higher dimensions and also what we call the lower dimensions. Now, in the lower dimensions, most of the beings are vibrating in a much lower vibrational frequency than, of course, higher beings itself. And I try not to travel to the lower dimensions through maintaining positive thoughts and the love and light within my heart so that I could raise my own vibrational frequency in order for me to ascend and travel to the higher realms as opposed to the lower realms. So if you're asking in terms of reptilians, like hybrid, I've seen them in the lower dimensional realms for certain.
Oh, very nice. It's really interesting. Now, just saying for our audience at home, I know we don't have the time to break it all down, all the steps and everything, but, for the beginners at home, could you give them any meditational advice or anything like that to be able to at least start somewhere
absolutely. I emphasize mostly the most important thing is to utilize meditation through utilizing the golden light. I find it the most effective form of even meditation of raising your vibrational frequency. So you just have to envision the golden light streaming between your eyes, through your mind, around it, and down all the way to your heart. And when it goes down to your heart, you have to feel the love and the light within you. And when you do this, you have to see it as an energetic treatment, as though with every movement of this light, it really, really improves your vibrational state of frequency and of being.
Oh, that's awesome. No, Kartika, I was thinking in my mind since we was talking about that and what I was talking about a while ago. But now, in places, in order to do this and to get the best, the natural power source and energy and stuff like that, Now, do you think that, you know, that a lot of this has anything to do with, like, Kundalini and stuff like that?
Kundalini? You mean the spiritual energy that has been written in ancient texts?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kundalini, one believes, goes through from the lower spine all the way to the top of the where our brain stem is, essentially, which is just in the back of our neck. And that's what this ancient Vedic understanding actually believes what Kundalini is. And many people believe that it swirls quite like a snake around your spine. However, I feel that this is definitely a symbol of simply the raising of our vibrational frequency. I don't believe specifically that there's a snake that goes around it, but definitely the spine itself, in terms of the understanding of neuropsychology, is what the spine as well as the brainstem is what connects one's being to the entire neurosystems within our body itself.
Now, Cortega, now when you do this, are you alone? Can other people that be with you in this, or how's it work?
Well, it works different really for different people. For example, some of my friends, they like to meditate together. But however, for me specifically, I prefer to meditate alone. But I can do this anywhere really, even sometimes when I'm actually driving, when I'm actually in a classroom. But when it comes to intense meditation, whereby I really, really utilize my entire energy and dedicate my mind to it, I have to be basically by myself.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, you know, they say that there's natural places in this, on this earth, that holds the most energy. They used to say it was in Tibet for so many centuries, and now it's allegedly in Chile. So do you know anything about that?
You mean quite like vortexes, ancient
yeah.
spots with... there exists... they exist in a lot of ancient spots, as you already know, ancient sites. But however, due to certain dark forces that infiltrated it, some of it are actually not functioning, or some of it are actually utilized in the opposite way, in that it's benefiting the dark force instead. But through raising our own vibrational frequency, through maintaining positive thoughts, through the love and light within our heart, what we're doing is we're affecting the energy within our own planet and that of our current universe itself. And by doing this, we're actually assisting in the upliftment of the vibrational frequencies that exist in these ancient sites as well.
Oh, man. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
It's really awesome stuff. I love talking about this. It's really fascinating. Now, have you been, now when you're doing this too, are you in the past, are you in the future, are you in another, how have you been able to manipulate anything or leave anything behind to know, or just some kind of clues or something to see if it goes even deeper?
Sorry, could you expand, please?
Oh, well, please, like basically, like, you know how somebody would say that they would leave some kind of, like, a not a note, but some marking somewhere, and then actually go there out of their non-meditation, out of their meditational state and see if the marking was there or anything that was, you know, like, beyond... like outer body, I guess I'm trying to say.
Are we saying markings in the physical, markings in the energetics, or?
Well, I don't know. Let's just, I was going somewhere with that, but
I see.
You know, it's just like, let's see here. Now, where would you say is the best venue for people to stay attuned and be connected to their soul?
Any place that has the element of water, because what water basically does is that it really enhances and uplifts our vibrational frequency. Have you ever seen a light, a prism light that is basically used to reflect the different colors of Roy G. Biv, which is the different colors that exist within our color spectrum on planet Earth itself, which is red, orange, yellow? Well, what water does is that it enhances our own vibrational frequency when it goes through it, that it reflects it back to us, and it really enhances it. It works as an enhancer. So anywhere with water, that's why actually most people, whenever they're feeling down or even when they want to be with their loved ones, they subconsciously always pick a place that has the element of water.
Yeah, that's I really believe that too. You know, at this current critical time, what is your current advice to our listeners who are experiencing difficult times, not only emotionally, but also in finding themselves being constantly targeted by unknown forces?
Basically, to stay strong and to realize that perhaps it is actually a wake-up call for them to realize of their energetic abilities and to sharpen their abilities and triumph over the forces of darkness itself.
Yeah. Now, have you seen any occultic themes in during any of your travel, like not like Luciferian, but like just like secret human, not like secret society stuff, but like, yeah, like this dark hidden beings. I remember I had this dream one time, and it was like these hooded beings, and this, like, I was just like, you know, them dreams where you're getting chased and stuff like that, and you know, I think that it's all got a meaning somehow. But have you dealt with any kind of like Luciferian presence in these or demonic presence in these other dimensions?
Lower dimensional beings. Yes, absolutely. Well, these hooded beings, or even what I call, some of them are what I call leeches, they appear to you and kind of like a shadow. That's what they look like this dark shadow. I've encountered many lower dimensional beings. And of course, the way to stop yourself from encountering them is to raise your vibrational frequency and align yourself with the forces of love and light and positivity. And by doing that, you are increasing your energetic vibrational frequency, in that your energetic body exists in a, when you disattach with from your physical body, your energetic body is actually existing in a higher dimensional existence. And in that sense, through the laws of the harmony within this universe itself, these beings are unable to manifest in a place that is of a higher dimensional, higher dimension, sorry.
You promote or like, you know, because they say, I think it was like the book of thoughts, something like that, like only by sound can their faces be seen or something like that. I think to that state. But I was going to ask you, do you think that what's your take on hermetic sciences and stuff like that?
Which aspects of hermetic science?
Well, just like the void, the whole, like, you know, the voice, maybe, like, I don't know, would it be called voice yoga or whatever whenever you're doing chants and stuff like that?
I see. Yes, absolutely. There are you know, if you use the sound, the correct sacred syllable with the right emotional state, it really helps to increase your vibrational frequency. And that's really what it does. It increases your vibrational frequency. And these Vedic or even Hermetics chants that you speak of, it is definitely one of the proof that the past ancient civilizations are very much aware of their energetic essence and the differing dimensional existences that actually exist within our universe or even in the many universes.
I agree. Yeah, you know, it's all that stuff's been around for so long. You know, and I think that we've been suppressed of knowledge, of true knowledge, for way long. 2014, I believe, was a great year in awakening spiritually, among other things. And I believe 2015 also holds the same light. You know, it's the whole thing about programming your mind, getting on, opening up, believing, and going in your mind and going to these other dimensions and being able to go there. Because, you know, everybody has that gift, Kartika, and you know as well as I do, but they, we've been brainwashed not to use. And I think the food that we eat, like in the grocery stores, like that, or deflectors and all this other stuff. But yeah, there's, but you know, we are breaking the cycle, and that's what's really awesome. And I'm glad that there's people like you that's reached that higher state of enlightenment and is able to write about it and show us how to get there ourselves, or at least attempt to show us, because you know that old country saying, you can lead a horse to water but you can't make him drink, but it's all one step. I believe it's one step of how far they want to push their step, you know, because it's like it's all, you know, to get that highest sense of alignment. What do you think about it?
About people currently raising their consciousness?
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. I feel that that's definitely what's going on, that people are starting to question what exists beyond the physical, what happens after death, that people are healthily questioning deeds, because as we go further in time, there is a certain lapse whereby certain incidences make them aware of their true energetic essence.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Now, do you have any appearances that you're going to be making the new book?
Apologies, Lauren. Your voice was breaking up.
Are you making any appearances to promote a new book?
Not currently. Not in schedule. Definitely. Maybe, perhaps in the coming future. But currently, I'm very busy with my scientific work.
Yeah.
My academics.
Hey, that's awesome. That's really great. I was also going to ask you, what's your step from here? What's next? What's great? What's going on in your research? And what's some answers that you're coming to?
My next goal, is that I'm planning, or I'm in the process of making a school in the Himalayas for children with physical vulnerabilities, or in other words, as most people would say, disabilities, in order to enhance their energetic abilities and to prove to the world, with a few of my friends who are in the scientific field themselves, that these children are very much misunderstood in our current society, that these are really, really talented children. And if humans or if individuals stop seeing themselves as being the only one that's perfect, and people who are not, people who are different with rather what they call disabilities are lesser than them, I feel that we have much potential in the progress of human spirituality itself.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like, and I believe too, Kartika, that people live, you know, everybody learns and lives on a different level, especially learning. Everybody learns on a different level, like, you know, my son, for instance, you know, he'll walk until he was like around almost like two and a half, 3 years old, but, you know, I was worried. But the thing about one is I was just, you know, a lot of people overthink things, and it just brought me to the conclusion that everybody's different. Everybody learns on their own. But here's the beautiful thing about it. Everybody, it's to their own of where they want to get to that point of that one.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And it's very, very sad that our current society, the mainstream education, is rather stresses individual to assimilate to the mainstream understanding and only focuses on a physical, what is seen, what is solid. And if anybody dare to go against the mainstream, they find themselves completely cornered, being questioned, cornered, our even their mental states being questioned itself. And that's a very, very sad thing, because I find beauty in individuals who are unique, individuals who are different. And that's how you learn things, through seeing things through these individuals' minds.
You know, that's awesome. I think that, you know, the next goal is to work with children. So it's really important because, you know, that's, and the problem in the world today is the kids in the world don't have no innovators like we did. This country had, and other countries too, no innovators. There's no boundaries really anybody's breaking. And, you know, I really strongly believe that we have to teach these kids and the kids today and the kids in the future that be your own innovator, you know, create something that's totally going to help people's life, but, you know, in a good way. You know, it's just like the internet. There's a lot of goods, there's a lot of pros and cons. You know, getting the knowledge, being able to look up something that's a blink of an eye, and even that's down to anything. That's a good aspect, but with any good comes bad, and people, you know, abuse that, but, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is being able to create something else. Let's imagine the internet don't happen no more. Let's imagine the internet's just poof, gone. Okay, let's imagine where do we go from there since we've been brainwashed that whole time? And you go into all these places now and everybody's looking at their phones and they're texting, they're looking at these other stuff. But that is it's a tool to use, so we're not able to the block out all of our spiritual energy, and pretty much to turn away from everything that we were naturally able to do, and just the way everything used to be before it became all digital ties, if that's even a word.
Absolutely, absolutely. And people focusing with too much focuses, you know, people these days, oh, let's take a selfie, let's, you know, just internet games, whatsoever. What they're actually doing is they're increasing also their focus of the physical life itself. Thus, what it does is that it also increases the subconscious chatters on daily wise. For example, kids these days, or even teenagers, they go out and they care too much about the material aspects and the superficial aspects.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's so like materialism, and everybody's like, I have reached, you know, in alignment and knowledge. It's like I'm on like a knowledge meltdown, just so much. But I do have my biases. I have, I love movies. I have like a passion for movies and sometimes video games too. But the thing about it is you see all these cryptic messages through movies and both video games. And it's but it's something that totally messes up your mind. It makes you believe that that's how it all is, you know. Excuse me. They talk about, you know, the Matrix ain't real. You know what I'm saying? You know, the aspect of it is, let's not call it the Matrix. Let's just throw that word out. Let's come up with something different. Because it's just like, you know, the words that they use, it's just like, it's all, they put these little, these words like in movies, and it's like, everything's referenced with film. And so, like, well, be like, you use a word to be like dealing with unexplained phenomena or something spiritually or just whatever. And then the first thing that comes to mind is a documentary or a movie or something like that.
Yes, definitely. No. It's an interesting concept, interesting point of view.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. But I think that definitely more people should be able to tap out of their electronic devices. I mean, I can't say nothing because I've grown accustomed to, but I'm ready to put it down and move on to something better, you know. And, you know, I have been I've been going into tarot cards and doing all this different stuff. You know, in the past, that when you find that higher sense of alignment, when you're trying to search for it, you know, there's a, you know, I tend to think that it's good to be, you know, non-biased and all everything, as long as, you know, and to go maybe straight down, you know, the good energy, you know, with the good and the bad is, you know, all of that comes together. So, you know, saying it's more like dark and light energy, you know what I'm saying? It's just the thing that we battle every day in life, to say, you know, the good and bad, the villain and the bad guy. But, you know, it's always, well, later in my life, I have been taking a kindness to the villain. No, I'm just playing. But, it's just so awesome. I love talking about just, like, multi-dimensions. And,
right, now, I do have something to say. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I do have something to say in regards to something interesting in regards to say about video games, though. Now, interestingly enough, statistically speaking, 88.5% of children with developmental disorders find themselves very much engaged with video games. They, most of their daily lives are actually composed of playing the video games itself. Now, though many researchers have various different results that attest to why this is so, what's interesting is that, of course, the reason why they play these video games is because they feel that they are unable to take control of their physical body itself due to their consciousness mostly present within their energetic body. Now, when they play video games, when they have an avatar, they feel that they're actually in control of the body itself. Now, children's passion to video games itself, if anybody is listening and is, you know, in the entertainment field, if they're interested of helping these children with developmental disorders, they could perhaps make a video game that teaches them of how to take control of their physical bodies rather, and also to strengthen their minds. So adding a tone of spirituality within a video games itself. That's an interesting concept.
You know, they're making the, they've been making developing kits for the Oculus the virtual reality things for the new consoles. But I think that would just before I want to go into that, I wanted to say that somebody should really make something like that. And I love that you brought that idea up, and I'll definitely pass that along to some of my different friends that know friends, because I mean, different. There's.
Thank you.
I believe, hey, that's no problem, Lockhart. Another thing too. It's just like, in this field of spirituality, unexplained phenomena, and all this other, all this really interesting stuff. I believe that it's really important to reach the people with disabilities too, like especially in audio books and stuff like that, because I know a lot of people with disabilities that would love to be able to get into stuff that we get into, but they don't know about it because it's not in their format. So I believe in I'm working on a project, one of my first posts right now. And I want to do an audio version. I want to even do a Braille version. I just want to reach to so many people. And I think it's really important because I want to give everybody a chance. And we've been living in this country too long that if you can't see straight, if you can't hear good, if you can't, if you're not up to, physically fit, and you're labeled less than, and that's just something that's got to be totally wiped out of the system. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely, I agree. Most certainly.
Well, oh my God, we're almost out of time. We could have talked all night. Hey,
thank you so much, Lauren, for inviting me. It's been really nice. Thank you.
I loved it. It was, we had fun. And before you go, tell beautiful people at home how to get your book, because it's going to be awesome. I mean, I can't wait to get my hands on it, but tell people at home how to get it.
Oh, it's on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble's, and if you're in Asia, it's in Kinokuniya. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, listen, Martina, I want you to have a beautiful weekend, and I want you
Thank
to keep
you.
Doing what you're doing. And when I read your book, I'm going to write a great review.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. And I'll bring you back on soon and check in with you to see how everything is. And thanks for showing us everything. And,
Thank you so much.
Higher state enlightenment. And I wish you to have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. You too.
Good night, Cortilla. Thanks. That was another episode. That was a great show. Let's go to that higher consciousness tonight. We can if you want. But until next week, strange surrounding, secret universe.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good. There was no promise made, the part you played, the chance you took. There are no boundaries set, the time and yet you wasted still. Like grains of sand, you watch it go. There's no time to be lost, you'll pay the cost, so get it.